Hey, how about them tops, son?
All day,
SEC boys.
SEC, they post the SEC. Where's the other, baby?
You're listening to the Red Out Podcast.
Welcome into another Red Out Podcast. Devin, Matt, and we are here for the final, I guess, scheduled episode of the season. We've got some baseball, we've got some basketball, we've got some softball to talk about. The biggest news is going to be basketball, but first let's talk a little baseball. Western lost to FIU. I'll have a little, I'm going to have a little graphic here in just a second. Western lost to FIU 11-1 in seven innings on Friday, March the 22nd. Let me get my timer started here. And so they lost then. Let's see. I guess softball didn't play. Softball played on Saturday, lost to La Tech 5-3, and they won the other doubleheader, the other one 6-5, and then Western beat FIU 14-4 in eight innings, and then the 24th. Sorry, Western lost to FIU, so we won one of the games of the series. And then a Western's girls lost on Sunday. The softball lost 4-10, and men's lost. The baseball lost 3-7. Yeah, I'm not really prepared to get today, guys. Sorry, I've had a longer phone call that did not mean to, and it's whatever. And then Murray, Western played Murray yesterday on ESPN Plus and lost 15-2 in seven innings. So good gosh. But I'll have that graphic up here. We'll have an update on for the baseball side of things. We'll have that graphic, and then the next part of the series.
But I was going to say
news. Go ahead.
I was going to say on the Murray State thing. I was looking because I was like, "Oh Lord, was it 15-3 or whatever?" I think they're like 18-6 on the year, so they're pretty
That's
solid.
Good, apparently, right?
Yeah. So hopefully. It's just a blip on the radar, and, you know, losing to FIU is kind of like, well, I mean, you know, at least you took one game out of there. You definitely don't want to get swept in conference. So hopefully they'll get together and be all right.
Yeah, they I mean, baseball has done really well, surprisingly, but I don't know of any series that they have actually just completely dominated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They haven't really – I don't think they've swept a series. I think their overall record's 16-10, and they basically win kind of 2 out of 3.
Okay.
And in this case, they lost 2 out of 3, and then they lost the midweek game. So a little skid there. But, I mean, I guess we'll kind of see how it shakes out moving forward. They play Jacksonville State and Vandy. April 2nd, so that'll be interesting. And then Dallas Baptist. Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, I hope Jacksonville State goes well because the end of the next four games after that going to be pretty brutal.
Yeah. Am I sounding better now?
Yeah, that's a little better, man.
Okay. So Western played Marquette on last Friday. I actually watched it. Okay, so I spent like – $40 or $50 on this game. I bet my $10 on Western to make about $100, which would have been awesome. And up until halftime, I thought we were doing really well. So there's that. But Western ended up losing 87-69. And I mean, if they had actually probably matched the tempo in the first half to the second half, like that's a whole different game. I'm pretty sure Marquette came out and was like, I didn't hear no bell. So, you know, the first half was amazing. It was a very exciting game. And I thought Western played awesome. But you know, that, the guard Jones just, dude, he hit like no other.
Cam Jones, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy
he was just yeah, he went off, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I
think the other thing was Kolek, too.
Go ahead.
I think the other thing was Kolek, too. The other guy that had been injured, The guy averages, I think it's like 16 or 17, like 7.5 assists, and he usually gets like 3 or 4 rebounds. Well, this game, he got 18 points. He had 11 assists, only 3 turnovers, had a couple steals in there, only fouled twice, had 6 rebounds. So he was basically above his average in everything after coming back after not playing for six games. So when he goes off and then Cam Jones goes off, it takes away all that margin that you could have had to try to upset.
Like you said, Cam Jones had an amazing game. But on Western side of things, like, what in the hell is beeping?
My stuff was beeping on my side, man. I had a phone call coming
No,
in.
it's me. No, you're fine. It's me. For whatever reason, my computer, I set a timer so I can keep up with easier to mark chapters and stuff. But anyway, I tell you, some kid that I was really loving was Edlin. He had 12 minutes in the game, but Jack Edlin was doing awesome. He also looked like he was 5'4" up there, but he's actually 5'10".
Generously,
But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's he's probably closer to probably 5'8", 5'9", but you know how it is. Coaches always bump him up a little bit. But yeah, I thought he did really well. Had a lot of assists. Kid was hustling like no other, but he I as a Red Towel Trust $5 per month person, I would like my $5 to go to him. I'm just saying.
Make it official, Keith, if you're
Yes.
watching, bro.
Yeah, but he doesn't watch podcasts, so it's fine.
And anyway,
Yes.
oh, Schmank, I'm sorry, not Schmank Schmilson. I don't want to use names, but yeah, I know he. I think my dad, I don't know if this is true because my dad can get into a lot of urban legends really quick, but or suburban legends in his case, but I think he said Elam was like plus 24 in 12 minutes or something. So like if you look at their plus minus, basically what that looks at is like how did the team do while you were on the court? And he was like super high plus minus, like plus 20 something, 24 or something like that. And Jack just played really well. And he does a lot of the invisible things you don't really notice. And he actually dropped in a couple points, which was nice. Only took a couple shots, made them both. Got a couple rebounds, one turnover. I mean, he did exactly what you would ask a backup point guard to do, and really more. He was all over the place, and I firmly believe the man deserves a scholarship for real. Like what he
Yeah,
did,
completely agree.
he's only a freshman. If he could do that as a freshman and come in and contribute and stabilize the backcourt, let the man come in and do it next year and going forward. Like he's a good little player, and very surprising to see how well he's done this year. But good for him. Freshman walk-on comes in and does a good job.
I will say, Marshall. Was it? Is it Tyrone Marshall? Is that right? Yes, Tyrone Marshall. He was playing phenomenally first half. Dude was hitting for threes really well. He did really well. I thought McHenry did pretty well. Some people thought he had some bad choices. I will talk about something else here in just a second, but there were a lot of other players who did well during the game, but Marquette is just able to pull from a larger talent pool. And I mean, to make the March Madness in general for Western, I think is a gold star year, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean you have to be thrilled with how the big picture ended up. I mean, if you told me we make the NCAA tournament in any way, it doesn't matter about anything else, like A plus. Like there's
Yes.
no, like that's been the whole goal since 2013 was get back to the tournament, however you do it. And
Yeah.
we did it, and we didn't even have a 16 seed. We had a 15 seed, which as a diehard, longtime Western fan, a 15 seed is not as thrilling as like really having a chance to win as like a 11, 12, 13. We've had some 8, 9, 10 seeds in the past and stuff. So we've had other times that we had a more of a legitimate chance to win a few games, but you have to be thrilled with year one of a new coach. He comes in, he immediately takes you to the tournament. Marquette, I think they just, when you have two guys that go off like they did, and then their other guy was like, they had four guys that combined to average like 50 something points, and they all did pretty well. I think Isidoro or whatever his name is was the only one that didn't have a great game, but he also contributed elsewhere.
I was like,
He has
4 points.
he only had 4 points. We had 8 rebounds. He had 5 blocks. He had a positive assist to turnover. So the guy did other things, and then their other guy that averages 10 points, he put in 16 points. So, or maybe it was David Joplin, I can't remember. Anyway, their 4 big guys all did something. And so if that's going to happen, then you need all of your, like, you need several Western guys to counteract that. And the only person that played great was Wu, Tyrone Marshall, in the first half. Okay. But in the second half, Wu did not keep the same pace. There was no one else in the second half that was on an elite level.
I don't necessarily blame Wu on that because
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, to keep it going like we were, the reason that we were ahead was because he had 17 in the first half. If he had kept going and scored 34, then obviously that would have given us a chance at the end of the game with one guy scoring 34. It just takes the pressure off of everyone else. But if you
I will
don't have that kind of pace, you got to get it from somewhere else or slow them down. You didn't do either, and that's why they pulled away.
Yeah, I will say that Joplin is probably the ugliest person I've ever seen. I'm just saying that.
Well, from the upper deck, I couldn't really see him, so I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe so. Let
So
me look him
one
up.
second.
Go ahead and keep talking. I'm just going to look how ugly this guy is.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's all good, man. I'm just going to look
But
up
yes.
this ugly guy.
Yes, Joplin. Okay, just picture
How
like
is
the human, just the he reminds me of like a pug. Like some people think pugs are cute, and some people are like, mm-mm. Nothing. Don't see it? You don't see it? Okay, I'll try to remember to put a picture of Joplin on this part of the episode, so.
Let me see. I mean, I just looked him up, and I don't see like exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he's like, ew, but it. I
He's just kind of just
what I
good.
said initially, was, is that's a face a mama could love. But I'm just saying, maybe it's a little Western hate. I don't know, but I mean, and I don't know. I mean, Marquette. I mean, they did really
Sure.
well. I mean, they came out in the second half. There's one of two things that happens when you go in at halftime against a team like Marquette, and either they roll over, which that was not going to happen, or they come out swinging, and that's what they did. And they came out swinging, and Western didn't. I think Western
Yeah.
let the atmosphere dictate, the stage, the atmosphere, whatever you want to call it. I think they got overwhelmed by, where they were, and holy crap, we're beating a number two seed. That's my opinion.
Yeah, maybe. I think I thought about this a lot because it's kind of like, okay, how did we, obviously we were up 7, you're looking good. What happened? I think the very beginning of the game, you had 8 turnovers and you dug yourself a 9-point hole. I think that was key because if you didn't have that and then you have that spurt in the end of the first half, you may be up 15 or 20 points, and it's obviously a completely different game from that point. I think the very end of the first half where we had a chance to be up 10 or 12 and we ended up only up 7, I think that was a big moment where like McHenry misses a pretty open three. It was a reasonable shot. And then we had another chance. It was a, inside bucket, I think, that we just kind of missed. And it allowed them to only be down 7. And then, you come out in the at the beginning of the second half and you immediately turn the ball over. I think it was like 4 or 5 times. Like we had a few minutes where we had tons of turnovers, and the rest of the game, it was reasonable. But ultimately, the turnover bug bit Western, and the one time that the other team kind of had the advantage in turnovers was right at the beginning of the second half, where they immediately evaporated that lead, tied it up, and then I think from there, Marquette, during all those times that Western was kind of screwing itself, Marquette was not playing its best. And finally, when they did start clicking in and playing well, Western hadn't built a big enough cushion to be able to survive the surge. And so they started hitting their shots. Western was making twos and they were making threes. And you look down and it's a 10-point lead. Then all of a sudden, Western misses a few shots and they're up 20. And it's like, well, there went that. Because you missed all the other opportunities early. If you would have, taken advantage of a few of those, then you might have had a different narrative. But I still think ultimately, when their best players play their best, it's just going to be really hard for WKU to overcome that. Even if McHenry had gone for 25, and the other guys have been making shots, it's just tough to see WKU overcoming a really, really good team. Like they could win a national championship for real. I
They
mean, they're
could.
legit. They're legit national championship contenders. Like it's them and Houston in our bracket or in our region, and then obviously get to the Final Four. Who knows? UK's already been knocked out, so they're playing the sixth seed, I think. Or they're playing. Who is it? They're playing. It's Oakland
Are you
and
talking about
NC. They're playing
Marquette?
NC State. Yeah, they're
Yeah,
playing NC
NC
State,
State is
right?
who? Yeah,
Okay, so they
yeah.
got an 11 seed to go to the Elite Eight, and then they play Houston or Gonzaga. Is that
Duke.
right?
Duke.
Duke. Okay, I forget. I hadn't looked at it in the last little bit. I'm going blind.
No, you're good. Of course,
Anyway.
like you said, I mean, they're easily a Final Four contender, and they could easily be one of the last two. I think they're a good team. Hey, props to them. I don't usually say this because I'm a spiteful loser, but hey, if they went out, at least Western could say, hey, we played the national champion and lost. So there's nothing
Yeah,
wrong with that.
even if they crap out in the Sweet 16, the fact
Yeah.
that they followed it up with a win against a good team, it legitimizes everything with Western. And even if they got blown out by Colorado or whatever, so what? I mean, Western acquitted itself and played a competitive game. At the end, it ended up being whatever, 18 points. But that was not an 18-point game, really. I mean, WKU was right there for 30 minutes, and you got to be proud of them. So,
100% agree. I mean, don't get me wrong at all. I'm very happy with the performance the guys did. And like I said at the beginning, when you make the tournament, it's a gold star year for Western. I mean, we haven't made it in 10 years. So you have got to, you've got to be proud of these guys. And another thing is, what I want to say is I think what everybody needs to understand is don't get wrapped up in the game. Do not let your emotions dictate what you say after the game. You need to take about a good 6 to 8 hours to just cool off and stop. Okay? And there's people out there who know who I'm talking about, and I'm giving you the finger, right? I'm pointing at you right now. Not you, Matt, but them watching. So you put down your phone, don't be tweeting, don't be saying nothing. And more importantly, don't say nothing to these 20-something-year-old kids who just went out there and played their hearts out and lost. They
Yeah.
did something amazing, and they don't need you going up there, some old grandpa armchair coach, to go out there and say, hey, he's playing selfish. Well, you know what? You're
He
selfish,
wasn't garbage
Frank.
right, clearly.
Yeah, he was
You see
clearly
that
not raised right.
garbage?
What's wrong with you? Yes. And that is
Yeah.
garbage.
Talking about McHenry, what it was. They were talking about Don McHenry and how selfish of a player he is and all this stuff. And he clearly wasn't raised right or whatever. Like, shut up. People are idiots. I'm
Yes,
sorry, but
100%
that
agree.
it's ridiculous. Like,
It is.
don't come. Like, I have no problem speaking your mind. Speak away. Okay. It's okay to say that Western kind of screwed up. It's okay that to say that Western had its opportunities or whatever. Fine. And you can have a negative opinion about stuff. Okay, fine. But don't come and attack people. Don't attack their families. And don't degrade the fact that WKU did something amazing this year. They found a way to make it to the NCAA tournament with a first-year coach, with a cobbled lineup, with no point guards, that came into the tournament with a losing streak and won in 3 days in dominant fashion, and then almost followed it up with a 15 over a 2 upset. They were the only 15 that had a chance in the
They were probably. Well,
first round.
we were one of the only schools in Kentucky to lead at halftime in the NCAA tournament.
We were the only one, yeah,
Eat that,
in
Cavs.
Kentucky.
There you
Meow. Moorhead.
So anyway, besides talking about my Christmas wish to my wife. Oh, you were talking about school. Sorry.
Was that?
Anyway, no, they
Childish.
I always get frustrated when fans do that kind of stuff though, because like these are 18 to 20 some year old kids. They do not need you, who probably never played a lick of basketball outside of Little League, to come up at them and say stupid stuff like that. You know, if you're disappointed, say you're disappointed. Be like, man, I can't believe these guys. They were so, it was so disappointing at how they played. There we go, Matt. Change the scenery, buddy.
Yeah, that's it. The lighting on my face.
Oh, did you notice I have a light too?
I was wondering, man, you look like you put on makeup and everything. Did you put on
Actually,
makeup?
I can change the color too. So,
Oh.
oh. Yep, see, I'm going green. Here we go.
I mean, don't lie. You actually have basically been putting on dead people makeup every episode. That's why you look so good.
No, that stuff doesn't work the same way for living people. But anyway, so as far as the season's concerned, what was your what would you grade this season out as?
Oh, I mean, there were some ups and downs. I mean, we had some moments where it's kind of like, okay, we're rolling, we're doing big things, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you have a trip to Canada and you blow some leads and look like you don't know what you're doing. But that also could have just been the, Canadians. They can really throw you off sometimes. Yeah, maybe. Party too hard one night. I mean, I don't know. But no, I mean, stuff happens. And then you had a few moments in the conference season. You start whatever in three. It was like 11-3 or something non-conference, and then you end up 8-8 in conference. You had a few moments. You were 8-4 at one point. You lost four in a row. But overall, like if you're talking about a grade, at the end of the day, you lost two, not one, but two guys that could have played point guard, and not one, but two guys that also played the best defense on the team in Terrion Murdocs and Jalen Jackson. You didn't even get to see Terrion Murdocs, but he's one of the best, probably could have been arguably the best player on the team, from what you hear and what you know from him being at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And then Jalen Jackson too was, you don't look at his stats and say, my goodness, what a difference maker. But there were several games at the end of the game where he made the difference to keep the other team from being able to get a shot off or from being able to get a good look or whatever. And so the fact that he went down middle of the season, you think that you're going to have him in stretch time and then he's out. The fact that they were able to put all that together and make the tournament, like, I mean, I won't say A plus because just because of some of the down parts, but it was a solid A. I mean, everything else was perfect. Like you make the tournament, You have a good year. You win the most games since 2017 to 18. You had some adversity and you found a way through it. I mean, all that is wonderful. So, I mean, a solid A for the Tops. I mean, it was an awesome year. Gotta be happy with it.
I agree with you 100%. Going into Conference USA tournament, my gold standard, I think what you have to do as a fan is to sit down and just on have an honest conversation with what is a gold star year? When you're in kindergarten, you get gold stars for doing good things, but what is a gold star year? When Lutz comes back, does Todd Stewart put that gold star on the board for him or what? Going into Conference USA tournament, I thought if we made it probably to the conference championship, it was a gold star year. That was against pre, this is pre pre thought here. Sam Houston and La Tech are in there, and they've both stonewalled us at different points. I think we beat La Tech? Yeah, we did beat La Tech, and we lost to Sam Houston. Okay, that's what it was. I had them switched in my head,
Yeah, we
but
split with La Tech, got swept by Sam Houston.
yes, but and we had four games at the end of the season we lost. Bam, 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 and we lost all four. So, going to Conference USA tournament, you're like, dude, if we make it out of the first game, I think it's good. And then it's, well, we make it the second game. And then dominoes started falling that allowed us to show, hey, Western could win this. And then, we're lined up against UTEP final game, and it's like, this is ours. This is our game to lose. And Go Western ended up winning and everything started working out perfectly. But this is definitely I would go so far as to say this was an A plus year. Because if you'd have told me last spring, right after Stansberry was fired, we hired Lutz, everybody was like running around the office screaming and going, it's on fire, when in fact it wasn't on fire. I know a lot of people who were very disappointed that Will Wade was not hired. There's some bigger people that are upset that Will Wade wasn't hired. We aren't going to go to the tournament next year because, Will Wade wasn't hired. And Lutz came in and Lutz won. I can't complain. I mean, with what Lutz did, he did a really good job. And if we're able to keep Lutz, that's another A plus in my book.
Well, I mean, one thing, about the Will Wade detractors, which honestly coming into the tournament, you look and you see McNeese State at like 31-3, looking great and everything. But then honestly, who performed better in the tournament? They both got to the same round, right? McNeese State was a 12 seed, played a five. They got murdered. They got absolutely slaughtered. Didn't have a prayer. And then WKU played an admirable game and had a chance to win it. Until about 10 minutes. I mean, even if you slice it that way, people talking about Will Wade or whatever. I mean, obviously he went 31-3, so who knows what he would have done at Western. But I mean, Lutz did exactly what he was the maximum about what he possibly could have done with the roster and the schedule and everything that he had, the injuries and all that. Because you also had the Christian Lander injury, you had Dante Allen for a game and a half, and he was hobbled even against Marquette. I mean, to overcome all that and to have the results that he had, I mean, of course that you, I mean, I said like it could certainly be A plus myself, but I think I was just being a little. Not even harsh, I guess, and giving them an A versus A plus, whatever it is, it's in the A's, and it was a great season. We're hanging banners. We're adding to all the numbers, all the big numbers that you advertise as a program, 20 win seasons and NCAA tournament appearances. All that is being added to. So you got to be thrilled with it.
So I think, and I don't know, you may agree or disagree. I think a gold star year for Western is going to March Madness. You got to make the NCAA tournament. That is a gold star year. That is the bowl game. That's the conference championship, whatever you want to call it. for, you know, the equivalent for basketball. I mean, I know you have to be conference champions to do it, but I'm saying football to basketball, that's the equivalent. You got to be able to do this and then do that. So, I mean, Lutz has done that, and I think Lutz 2.0 could be a lot. It could be a big, big year for us, and I'm very excited to see that if we are able to hold on to him. Now, supposedly he hasn't gone anywhere, but there's a lot of flights coming in and out of Bowling Green International Airport. So, if Lutz was to leave, what would be some of the fallout besides several players leaving? What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I hope he stays.
Me too.
Obviously, I don't care about the $2 million, to be clear. There is a if he leaves before April 30th, we get $2 million. I don't care. I'd rather he stayed. If he does go, I hope he goes somewhere and is successful. It wouldn't be a complete and utter disaster to get that $2 million. Like, it would help a lot of, I'm sure it would help a lot of bottom line issues and stuff like that. But if you're admin and you think that it's worth the $2 million to get rid of the first coach that's made it to the tournament in 11 years, you're crazy. And the fact that if he stayed, he could keep this whole roster pretty much if he wanted to, minus Rodney Howard, go get a big man. You sign the kid from Warren Central, and maybe have a couple guys transfer out that are a little bit towards the end of the bench. And you go get a few players, and you could rock with what you have and be able to hopefully have a decent schedule, have a much better record, and make it back to the dance and make a run. So that's the first thing is, unless he gets offered some great job, I do hope that he considers the long term and doesn't just jump ship because somebody's going to pay him another couple $100,000 a year. If he's going to get paid $3 million versus $650,000, okay. I mean, I kind of get that or whatever. But if it's a slight increase or a slight bump in pay, or even like a slightly better conference or something like that, I just hope he puts himself in a good position. Like, it's understood that he probably would move on. He moved on from Corpus Christi after 2 years, and he went to Western, which Western is not like this massive, ungodly jump from Corpus Christi to WKU. WKU obviously has more tradition and stuff like that, but there was some baggage that did come with the WKU job, like having the expectation of you better get to the tournament and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, and another thing that Western has that Corpus Christi, well, something Corpus Christi has that Western doesn't is the Salt Life stickers. I hate them damn
Yes.
things, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, that was very, thank you for that serious comment. I really, that added
So, okay.
to.
So this is my pet peeve, I have to tell you. So I've got a lot of hand things today because I'm on video. So I cannot stand, this is a personal thing for me. I cannot stand if you're driving down the road and you see a Salt Life sticker. If it is not a coastal state, I'll do both sides because if it's not a coastal state with a license plate, then you don't need that sticker. If you're in Kentucky and you have a Salt Life sticker, what are you doing? Assaulting your French fries? Like, I don't understand the point. You live in that Salt Life here in Kentucky? No, you're not. So sorry, go
Maybe
ahead.
they, I
Corpus Christi is.
don't
I don't know. I just,
the
that's just my, I'll
Islanders.
get off my, I can't stand Salt Life stickers on people who don't live near the ocean, but.
But yeah, I hadn't given it a single thought in my life. So anyway, no, I mean, so kind of getting into the reality of it, it does seem like there's some mutual interest. He was rumored to possibly be in the final five or so for SMU. It looks like that's going a different direction. There were some other ones, Louisville. Apparently he was in the hunt, but probably not going to get it. Oklahoma State's the one that we're currently most worried about. It seems like
Cowboys.
he So it seems like he, I think there's interest from both sides. I don't know which way it's going to go. The longer that we wait, though, the more I feel more comfortable that he may be back. A lot of times it's going to happen fairly quickly. It doesn't, like, you can't wait way into the off season and then all of a sudden have a change. And so we'll see. Our staff seems to think that there could be like a domino type of school where like maybe a second tier Big East, Mountain West, A10, lower level Power Five, something like that kind of falls and is interested in him. I think consensus within the Tower Act right now, as of Wednesday afternoon, which it could change quickly, so y'all don't shoot us if you come on Thursday and there's a big shift. But seems like it's about 50-50 either way that he possibly could go. I mean, he's, if he's offered the right job, he'd probably take it. But I think there's also a decent chance that he looks at it and says, you know what, maybe I can get a couple offers, but why don't I stick here where I've got everybody? I can keep everybody together and we run this back one more time. And then he gets a huge job offer when they go to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight next year.
I mean, honestly, like, I'm kind of with you. I would be happy next if we get Lutz 2.0, and like Matt said, if this episode comes out and he's already flown somewhere else and never comes back, I can't help it. I'm sorry, but if he does go somewhere else, or if he stays at Western, let's start there, and we get Lutz 2.0, we get most of the players back, then I think, I won't say minimum, but another March Madness appearance is another gold star, in my opinion. That's I mean, obviously, yes. If you go to conference championship and you have that crazy 3-point spin out thing that happened a few years ago with Marshall, that could be another issue. But I don't think it's anything less. I mean, I still give that an A. Maybe B, depending on how the game is played. If you don't even make it that far, then we'll talk. But I think that as far as the season's gone this year, I have a lot of faith in Lutz. I think he does. I think he did really well this year, and I think Lutz 2.0 could do a lot of good in the future. I did think it was funny. We preached on this last year that I always thought it was weird that Stansberry never rested the guys. He would always have the same five guys, maybe six, who would have like 85
Can't
minutes.
trust them.
Yeah, 85 minutes in the game. And then he'd have like one or two other guys on the bench that had like 3 minutes. And then as soon as they'd go in, basically the next thing, whoop, they're out. And, Lutz is in there on one of the press conferences that we posted, and he was talking about, resting the guys' legs, keeping their legs healthy so they can make it and, better and further in the tournament. And I'm like, ha, ha, I told you, I told you. And it's one of those things, people are like, oh, they don't need to rest. This isn't the NBA. Rah, rah, rah.
They're 22-year-old kids.
Yeah.
They
They're used to
don't
getting eight
feel
trips
it.
and stuff.
It's foolishness. It drove me crazy. You're punching a nerve here. You're like, okay, look at Tavion Hollingsworth, right? He holds like all the Western minutes records, right? And how many championships does he have? No offense, Tavion. It's not his fault. But how many does he have? Zero. He has one regular season championship, and he always looked worn down at the end of the season.
Because
And
he
Lutz made
was.
the point. Yeah, and Lutz made the point. He said Tay Hardy and somebody else are, they average like 32, 33 minutes a game, right? Tay Hardy from UTEP, who, by the way, Western played in the finals, and Tay Hardy didn't have his best game. I wonder, maybe his legs were burnt out from the whole year. Maybe it's because he had a
That would
tough
be
tournament.
weird.
I don't know. But guess what? Tavion averaged, some of those years, he averaged like 34, 35 minutes, which is outrageous. And Lutz told us all that his whole thing is you play your bench and make sure, he made the point that Don McHenry had played the most minutes of on the team, and he had played five full games less than Tay Hardy. in terms of minutes played. And that's not including the average minutes played. That's 40 full minute games. He was 200 minutes less on the season than Tay Hardy. Like, that is a massive difference, and it ended up paying off. So anyway, I know that's a sidebar, but that's just one
No.
more thing about Steve Lutz that you just have to love. Is that he has a plan, he has thoughts on things. Whenever you ask him something, he comes up with something awesome to say. Like
Yeah.
we asked him the stuff at the press conference about we asked, if you were talking to the Western fans sitting on their couch thinking about whether they would come or not, and whether they would come to the championship game, and he goes, "Well, what the hell else are you gonna do?" You
It's the
know, and then
greatest
he goes
thing.
on.
That was the great one.
Yeah, that was awesome. It's just such a great answer, and just off the cuff. I mean, the guy is special in more than just like the entertainment factor or just the fact that he's a good coach. He's just special in the way that he can talk and the way that he can get his guys to do what he wants. He's 3-0 as a head coach when he's required at each of the schools that he's been at. To win a conference championship, he's done it. And twice he's done it as the underdog. He's done it with two teams that were 500 in the regular season in the conference.
Yeah.
And it's just a special, a talent rises to the top when it's most, when it's most under pressure. And that's exactly what he's done, is risen to the top. So
I think he's
I hope we can keep him.
I was very happy with a lot of what he said. If I'm not mistaken, did you ask him at like the last press conference if there was anything you would have changed, or was that somebody else? At the championship game, because he's
I
like, you're
asked
going to make me
him.
sound like an old cranky coach or something. And I was like,
Yeah,
that
I asked him.
is
I asked him if there was something that he felt like they needed to work on, heading into the tournament, into NCAA tournament. And he said, "Yeah," he said, "Well, you're going to make me sound like an old cranky coach or whatever." And then he kind of goes on. He's like, "Well, obviously turnovers or whatever," but he was like, "You know what? So what? We won." And we won the game. Who cares? And it's like, that's refreshing because you see all these coaches with their coach speak and stuff like that, and they won't let their guard down. But he's like, "You know what? Screw it. We just won a championship. I'm not going to worry about the fact that we turned the ball over a few times. Of course, we got to get to work. Of course, we got to practice and stuff like that. But let's go celebrate, And I think that's so cool. And that's kind of like, as a fan or like a bystander or whatever, you kind of like to see that side of it, that he's not so
Yes.
consumed with everything
Uptight,
that he can
yes.
function. Yeah. Like, imagine Bobby Petrino if he was asked that question. Like, he wouldn't say anything about, like,
Blah, 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 blah.
"What do you mean? We got so many things to fix. Jesus.
We won?
Terrible.
What?
Do you want to make the Sweet 16?" Anyway.
We're going to practice now. Get out there. We just finished the game, coach. I don't care. But no.
"There will be no party."
We were talking potential coaching hires. Do you have
Yeah.
anybody that you would think of?
Well, the two that stand out to me, if we're possibly acknowledging that Lutz may leave, which it seems he could, there's one on staff, and that's Hank Pelona. He brought in a couple of the guys that are already on the roster. He also certainly has some connections around the country to bring in some good transfers, sources say. And so I think he would have an opportunity to at least make a case to be in the running. I think also I think his name's Preston Spradlin from Morehead State.
Okay.
He's a guy that has been at Morehead for a while. It's a Kentucky school, so he's going to be kind of familiar with recruiting this area of the country for sure. He's gonna have tons of connections in Eastern Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, obviously heading out to Western Kentucky too. He would be a pretty good fit, and he's done a good job at Moorhead. If you look at Moorhead, when since he's been there, they've been to the tournament several times, and Moorhead's not exactly, tradition central. They've had some tradition. It's not like they had zero tradition. But let me look up what they've done.
Another name I would throw out there is Kenny Payne.
Oh, okay. Why don't you share why, Devin?
Well, he just got fired from Louisville, so he didn't have anything better to do. And then we could also hire Richard Pitino,
Global.
Rick Pitino's
Oh,
son.
right. Okay. So there's that. Right.
I
Okay.
honestly, the scuttlebug in Louisville is that he's going to Louisville, so I'm completely kidding about both Kenny and Richard, but still.
Yeah, that's riveting stuff. So Spradlin has been, go ahead.
Also, there is Mike Sanford, brah. You can hire me, brah. It's not that hard, brah. You just throw the ball through the goal. Like you just throw it. It's not that hard, bro.
It's like throwing your surfboard up on top of a sweet wave.
Yeah, you just
You
take
just
that
gotta
thing and
ride the
throw
wave into the
you
basket.
throw it up on your Prius, bro.
It just follow that sweet hang ten right into Alcatraz. Trap it in the basket, bro.
Have you ever tried this thing called snow surfing? I think they call it snowboarding, bro. All right. I'll let y'all go on that.
What I'm saying on Spradlin. Okay, let me get back to
You're good. You're good. Our
yeah,
flip aside
Moorheads.
on Sanford.
Yeah. Woo. Man, you make such a good argument. So Spradlin, he did have a few years that he was kind of average with Moorhead. The first 4 years, actually didn't even have a winning record. But then in 2020 to 21, they went 23-8. They went to the NCAA tournament for the first time in, I think it was a decade. They also went 23-11, 2021 to 22. They went 22-12 and went to the NIT second round in 22 to 23. And then this last year, they went 26-9 and made the round of 64 in the NCAA tournament. So he's got a pretty decent resume. He's been there for 8 years. He took over a program that had only been to the NCAA tournament twice since 1984, and he's taken them two more times. And in 8 years, he's also been to the NIT. So I think he's a solid candidate. I think that's somebody that people really consider. I don't know. There may be some other candidates out there. I mean, obviously there will be, but I don't necessarily have like a long list. I'd love to see us, I'm sure my dad would love this, but I would love to see us have some WKU flavor on the bench. I think there are some good assistants that should come back home soon. Anthony Winchester, David Boyden. Adam, what is this? The walk-on, Adam Howard. He's been in coaching a while. I'd love to see one of those guys. I think David Boyden is kind of like a future head coach kind of prospect. And he's now getting into like his kind of 40-ish range. I think he's got to be about 40 years old or so. He's been around and has been on a lot of winning staffs. Honestly think he would be a good WKU head coach at some point. I think Anthony Winchester's got a nice resume too. He's at Kansas State now, doing some things there. So I feel like we should, consider some of those possible connections and bring back some of the WKU greats from the past, whether it's on the, as an assistant or whether as a head coach at some point in the future. I don't know if this year will be the time, but I think next cycle or next few years, why wouldn't one of those guys be a good head coaching candidate at WKU?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and I mean, honestly, the ideal situation is Lutz returns. But if he doesn't, hopefully Western will land on its feet. Ideally,
Just make a
we're
good
looking.
decision. Sorry, go ahead,
Yes.
man.
No, you're good. What I was going to say is, we were expecting a rebuilding year this year. So, honestly, I mean, we had a really good season. So, going into conference tournament, it had a different mindset than when the season started. Because when the season started, honestly, I would have been happy making it in the conference tournament, not knowing what we were going to be looking at. But after the game started and everything started rolling, the expectations rose. And so Lutz 2.0 is going to have a little bit higher of a little bit higher goals to reach this coming year. So, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, if Lutz stays, which again, we think 50-50, so there's still a great shot that he ends up staying here, in my opinion. Unless he's just determined to leave, I think he easily could end up back here. But if he stays, guys, I think we gotta come together and we gotta show up to games. We gotta I hope that Diddle is sold out, that the students come back and all that stuff. Like, we need to have the reaction that we should have when you return a coach after winning an NCAA or going to the NCAA tournament and he returns to the Hill. You got to
Yeah.
have that reaction of we're all in and we're not worried about the future. We're worried about right now. And right now it's time to go get another ring and go to the tournament. And I hope that the mentality changes from what it's been the last 11 years of, oh Lord, we're going to screw it up again. Hope we have a good showing. Like, when we used to show up to tournament, even as the pep band, or the fans in the stands or whatever, like, we expected to win the tournament. Like, even if we weren't the top seed or whatever, the mindset was WKU has come here to win this tournament. And I think that's how it needs to be going forward. Like, we're here to win. We're not here
Yeah.
to be decent. We're not here to make sure we get 20 wins or something like that. We're here to win championships and play in the NCAA tournament. That's what it's all about. And so I
Yeah.
hope that people have that reaction, especially if Lutz stays. But either way, it's time to take what momentum we've got, whether it's with Lutz or not, and take it into next year.
So, I'm gonna make a note here. I'm going to post the baseball and softball upcoming games. I don't have those in front of me. Like I said, I got into a conversation before the episode started, so I didn't get those typed up. But I'm going to post those here so you can see those as I'm talking. But the next few months, we're going to take a break for the next 3 or 4 weeks at least. We will come back towards the end of April is the ideal plan, as long as Matt and I can get on the same page. And we'll come back and we'll do an episode, talk about, into baseball, what we're looking at, Lutz coming back, maybe pre-football talk, what we saw at spring
Spring
game.
game.
Yeah. And stuff like that. And then, maybe try and come back in May and June and July, just so that we can kind of touch base and then have it, we'll start back into the season towards the end of August there, getting ready for football season. Maybe have some recruiting news and stuff like that, guys. But we'll get back into the role of things. But we're going to try and do at least a few episodes. I may try and get some guest episodes where we have interviews and stuff like that with players, or people, or in general, and just talk to them. Maybe it's former players or former athletes, and just talk to them, see what they think and have about their times at Western. And it may not have a lot to do with the current state of Western athletics, but it may be something entertaining for you. So I hope you appreciate that. I hope you like what we're putting out. If you do, like, share, and subscribe. And as always, guys, go Tops.
Tops.
Go Tops, baby. Talk to y'all later.
Malachi Corley, get drafted, baby.
Yeah, get drafted. Oh, booger. Let's talk about that real quick. So,
right.
Malachi Corley and Austin Reed, has his draft stock changed?
Yeah, well, Malachi Corley, just real quick, sorry for the false start there, guys. But anyway, I had it pulled up, but there were several guys. I think it's on the recruiting hold. Let me find it here. But okay, football recruiting. Basically, Malachi Corley solidified his stock, I think, as a second round kind of guy. We know that he's been like maybe first round, probably not. Solid second round. We definitely think he'll be gone by the third round. That's kind of what we thought the whole time. He just solidified everything. He looked good. He did a good job on his stuff. He ran a nice 40, all that kind of thing. And so he's done everything he should. As far as other people, you know, there was, I mean, Austin Reed was obviously the other big name in there. And I think he, you know, did a fine job. I haven't really heard a ton outside of Corley, really. But just to tell you the names that were in there, let me pull it up if I can. It's on the football recruiting. They got a list of who it was. And I had it pulled up and it timed out. But anyway, guys like Rome Weber, there were some other guys that you may not know as well. But there are a few guys in there that really have a shot to possibly make a team or certainly get invited to a camp. And I'm sure it was an opportunity for them as well. Austin Reed looks like he maybe gets drafted, maybe ends up undrafted free agent, but he'll probably be in a camp somewhere. Also, randomly, I saw Daywood Davis signed to be in the spring football leagues. I forget which team it was. My internet's not loading right now, so that's useful. But anyway, we did just want to mention the football stuff and the NFL draft coming up here in, I believe it's in April. So be sure you keep an eye on it because you might see some WKU red on day one or two.
Yeah, that'd be really exciting, honestly.
April 25th to the 27th is when it is. So we got about a month off at this point. There were nine teams there that brought their receiver coaches to see Corley. Like they literally showed up for Corley is basically what happened. I mean that's a statement right there that he's such a legit prospect that you've got nine receiver coaches coming to see what they think of.
Yeah,
because when those teams know by maybe the second or third round they're going to have two or three chances to maybe look at him, and he'll be gone. So that's just a super high demand. It's a good indication that maybe Malachi is in pretty good shape to be in the second round.
Yeah, so. I'd like to see him go at least second round. And honestly, if Austin Reed gets drafted, I'm happy with that too. I think those are both gold stars. We'll be back, like you said, towards the end of April, and we can talk about that then. No take backs this time. So. But, you know, we'll be talking about more Western Pro Day stuff towards the end of April. But hope you all have a nice summer. We'll talk to you then, and we'll try and have some more episodes, okay? So, this time, ready? All right, go Tops, guys.
Go Tops.